All right, we're in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin at verse 10 this evening. And just one more reminder concerning the global prayer walk. Today is day 3. It's easy, the days match whatever date in November it is. And today is to pray for Brazil. I hope you've been looking at that day by day. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. And tonight, verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Well, we have seen and will see again before chapter 4 is over that in addition to everything we've seen Paul wanting to say to the Philippians, the book is really primarily a thank you letter. It's a thank you letter for their support of Paul, Paul's ministry, even their support while he's in prison. And of course, they had sent Epaphroditus to Paul, and Paul was sending Epaphroditus back with this letter. So in chapter 4, verse 10, when he says that he rejoices that at last now you've revived your concern for me, and he clarifies there, he's not saying that at some point they just didn't care. But he's saying even when they did care and have concern, they didn't always have opportunity to do anything for him until they could send Epaphroditus. So that they did. And sent Epaphroditus, and so Paul in verse 10 says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. So Paul gets great joy out of the Philippian church supporting him, sharing with him, hey, you just heard missionaries thanking you for your support over many, many years now. Well, you don't always realize how much joy that gives a missionary to know that there are faithful churches faithfully supporting them. And by the way, it's not really about the money. It's about your love and your care for them because they're an extension of you wherever they serve. So Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. You've revived your concern. You were concerned, but you lacked opportunity. Now, verse 11, he wants them to know, not that I speak from want. So when you hear that I need help and I need support and all of that, please understand it's not because I'm in want. It's just because there are real needs. I don't speak from want. Now, why doesn't he speak from want? Verse 11. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I'm not in want. I'm content. Now, we're going to be thinking about that more in verse 12, but before we do, there are some other great verses that talk about this and contentment that let's take a moment to look at them. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Second Corinthians 9, 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Now, you may not think that you have an abundance in comparison to something else, but in relationship to the ability to give and accomplish good by that, here's been one of my quotes alongside of that verse for years and years now. You always have enough to be generous. You always have enough to be generous. Now, you might not think you have enough for everything else, but you always have enough to be generous. And I've seen that demonstrated all around the world when some of the poorest people on this whole planet are sometimes the most generous people. And they're not giving out of their overflow. They're giving out of their very life, their livelihood. They're giving sometimes the last of what they have, you know, like a widow's mite. They're giving that, and they're very generous. But we always have enough to be generous. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Contentment. 1 Timothy 6:8, if we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. Of shelter, clothing to wear, food to eat. That's enough. These we shall be content. I would dare say contentment. I used to, you know, even decades ago, say that contentment was a dying virtue. Now I look around, I think contentment is a gone virtue. It's, you just don't see it in your culture around you. You don't meet content people. You know, all you have to do is listen to the conversations. How much time is spent in gratitude versus how much time is spent in complaining? Yep, contentment. And Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So contentment and character that's free from the love of money go hand in hand, don't they? So Paul's saying, I've learned to be content in Philippians 4:11. Contentment is not something that comes naturally to anybody's flesh. Contentment is something that must be learned. It's learned. He says, I have learned to be content. So, verse 12, he says, I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. There were times when Paul had no income. There are times when he had very little. There apparently were times when he was quite prosperous. Now, if it is the case that before he was saved, he was, and all we can say is he might have been, may well have been, the rich young ruler that met Jesus, well, then Paul knew what it was like to be poor, and he knew what it was like to be rich. Now, at that point, he also knew what it was like to be covetous and selfish and not giving and all that kind of stuff. And he recognized that that was breaking God's law. Thou shalt not covet. But here he says, I've learned, whether humble means or in prosperity, In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. Wow. Have you learned the secret of going hungry? That's quite a statement, isn't it? Have you learned how to go hungry well? Have you learned how to be full well? Paul says, I've learned those things. Both having abundance and suffering need. I know what it's like to have abundance. I know what it's like to be in need. And I know what it's like in all of those circumstances to be content. Okay? This is great stuff to think about, isn't it? It's great stuff to consider. And if someone were to suggest to Paul, well, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could be content with a lot. I don't know if I could be content with a little. I don't know if I could be content if I'm hungry. You know, Paul, how do you learn that? Well, Paul gives the answer in verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How do you learn to be content in all of those things? Say, I learn to be content through Christ. He strengthens me in it. Paul had already said back in chapter 1, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Well, if that's true, to live is Christ and to die is gain, then certainly being content in Christ is not that difficult. So I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Christ strengthened Paul for contentment. A word of reaction a little bit to the statement, I can do all things. The point there is not, I can do all things that I want to. It's not, I can do all things that I feel like. And it's not, I can do anything. It's, I can do all the things that the Lord tells me to do, like being content. I can do that. So, verse 13, and I think most of you already know this, it's one of the great promises of the whole Bible, isn't it? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, what did Paul have to do to experience the benefit of that promise? And the answer is, he had to believe it. Okay? You say, well, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, is that true whether I believe it or not? Yeah, it's true whether you believe it or not, but you won't get any benefit out of it if you don't believe it. Right? Say, no, I don't believe I can do that. You know, Paul, you've said we should be content. I don't think I can be content. Okay, then you won't be. Yeah. Well, I don't believe I am content. Well, then you're not. I don't believe I can be content. Well, then you won't. Well, what do you believe? I believe I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Okay? That's a promise, but promises have to be appropriated by faith. We've been talking about faith on Sunday mornings, and this Sunday we'll be talking about believers living by faith. Well, here's an example of how to appropriate a promise and live by faith. Can you learn contentment? Yes. Why? Not because you have the power to make yourself content. You don't. But because you have a promise that you can do this through Christ. He strengthens you to do it. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So this can apply to anything that you need this promise to help you to learn, to grow, to experience the benefits that God has for you. This can apply to your health. This can apply to how long you live. This can apply to whether you can love a family member. It can apply to all kinds of things. So I'm just not sure that I can love that person. Oh, but do you know what? Jesus does. And you can do all things through him who strengthens you. So you can. You can. So we will stop there for tonight. But those are some important concepts to think about. Contentment and the power of Christ to bring it. Heavenly Father, as we consider these things tonight, thank you, Lord, for joy in Christ. Thank you for contentment in Christ. Thank you for the promises of Christ, including this one, that we can do all things through him who strengthens us. Lord, as we pray this evening, and you pray for us. You pray with us at your seat at the right hand of your Father. Lord, you pray with us. Lord, you are touched by all the things that touch us. And so, Lord, as we pray and we hold these things before you this evening, may you filter them according to your purpose and your plan, and Lord, accomplish them, and may these prayers come to pass. Thank you that you bring us boldly before your throne of grace, where we can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. And Lord, your grace is always sufficient, and you strengthen us. So Lord, work in us as we pray, and use this prayer time now to your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.